stairs that went up into the temple area from the south. Underneath us are caverns and tunnels, and they connect across the street. See that building right there across the street? That is the city of David. Right across this street, on down, is a 30-acre site, which in the Bible is called the Hill of Ophel. And that is the original city of Jerusalem. When David conquered the city, the Jebusites were in control of that. And they, when they conquered them, Jerusalem, Hill of Ophel, was the possession of David and his kingdom. Let's remember that David bought whatever was the top of this hill from Arvna. Oh no, is it getting time for that?
No.
The Jebusite, and he bought it. Remember, the man was willing to give it to him. He said, well, I'm not gonna do this unless I pay for it, otherwise it has no real value to us, and he paid big money for it. So when people say today that the Muslims, they own this hill, because you see, they don't believe that Abraham offered Isaac here. They believe Abraham offered Ishmael. They say the Jews changed the text. I debated one of the muftis about this, and I told him, I said, you know, you give me one proof, doesn't matter what it is, any time in history that that is true. Just one proof. He had none. There is no proof. None whatsoever, except in the Bible. And in the Bible, David bought this mound. Now, you also read about Millo. I know this is strange stuff, but have you ever read in your Bible about Millo or Milo, sometimes people say? That's actually referring to the area between this mount and the Hill of Ophel that had to be filled in. But we know, because we've excavated it and we've been it and personally have been in it, there are tunnels that go all the way up to the Temple Mount. And there are caverns along this tunnel. This is all underwater. You're going to experience some of that at the city of David, going in Hezekiah's tunnel and the Gihon Spring and all of that. David brought the ark back and put it in Millo, which is the area that was filled in between this mountain and the Hill of Ophel. There was actually a deep crevice that was filled in. Today, you just walk across the street to the city of David. It was also, until recently, a little village called Silwan. But Silwan was an Arab village. It now is over on the slopes, you can see it, of the Mount of Olives. So they moved out. There are 25 Jewish families as of last year. Maybe there's some more. 35 now? That are living on the city of David, the Hill of Ophel. And what we have here is really remarkable when you think about it, because look under your feet. This is Herodian. There's no doubt about it. Of course, that isn't. Stairs over there. But this is Herodian stones from the time of Yeshua, from Herod the Great's great project. And it's remarkable. The pinnacle of the temple would be the end, if you're interested in that story, where Satan said to Yeshua, why don't you just jump off? After all, it says he'll give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If thou be the Son of God, by the way, in Greek means if and it's so. The devil doesn't doubt he's the Son of God. The devil knows he is. But anyway, I'm going to let Duran tell us a little bit more archaeologically about this. The gate, I believe, of Huldah. You gonna tell them where it is?
Yep.
Good. You got a nice little chart.
I got a little model here for you. Yes. You see, we are on the southern side of the Temple Mount.
Can any of you see that?
Can you all see that? Okay,
good.
See, we've been on the western side of the Temple Mount this morning, where the western wall would be, and now we're on the southern side of the Temple Mount. Reminding you again, when the pilgrims came into Jerusalem, the city gate was way down at the bottom of this hill. And we just discovered recently, not too long ago, actually where the gate and where the original pavement is, where they used to enter from, walk all the way up that Mount Ophel that was just mentioned to you. And finally, when they got here, this is the last stairway before they really enter the Temple Mount. And the gates that they would have walked through, which are two double gates, sometimes they are, this one is made, marked as a triple gate, are the gates of Huldah. Who was Huldah?
Prophetess.
She was a prophetess during the time of Jeremiah, and according to Jewish tradition, she was buried up. There was a burial site here, and people loved her and remembered her, so finally when they built those gates, they named it after her. And those steps that you are sitting on, that you just heard now, are definitely sure from the Herodian period, were here at the time of Jesus. Many, many times when Jesus walked into and out of the temple, he would have walked on those very same steps that you are sitting on right now. So this is not a tradition, folks. This is real. We call it the teaching steps. A lot of the rabbis' teachings were already done here. Maybe Yeshua himself was teaching here on those steps. There's a very good chance that he himself taught people also here, as many as he did also in the outer court of the temple, also on those rabbis' teaching steps. Remember, when you walked up those steps, that's where the gates would have been. They were like underground tunnels that you would have walked in, which is now where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is. They just destroyed that when they built another mosque down below. And then you would have entered into the temple courtyard, about where we were standing, where I was talking to you, and we were in the Temple Mount itself. So this is actually the main gates that used to lead into the temple. So we can sing a song over here. Which song do you think we should sing here? We enter his gates with
thanksgiving
in our hearts.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. However, it doesn't refer to this day, nor does it refer to the time of Yeshua walking in and out of the temple. Did you know that?
I know that.
It is from... Somebody said we were the Laurel and Hardy show. I don't know. Anyway, it's from Psalm 118. We mentioned it to you the other day.
Hallel.
And it's referring to the day the builders rejected the chief cornerstone. So the day that we're rejoicing and offering our praise to God is when the Messiah died for us. Now, this is as good a time as any to tell you about something that has recently happened. About 8 years ago, over in Jordan, there was a tablet found. It's not real big. It's got 80 letters in it, in Hebrew, and it's a big controversy. I'll tell you what happened. Nobody really studied it. They found it 8 years ago. But they had a conference here in Jerusalem on various artifacts and the Department of Antiquities. And so Mazar, who is one of the great archaeologists here, she pointed out that this stele, or clay tablet, actually recorded before the time of Yeshua that the Messiah would die and at the third day rise again. It was very startling. In fact, the whole audience was making noise and everything, and she just finally said, what it does is it proves that Judaism has been wrong all these years about the death and resurrection of the Messiah, but it does not help the Christians because it was in existence before the time of Yeshua. So she said the argument probably is that the Christians, knowing about this Jewish belief, connected it to Yeshua and made up the story. Well, what she didn't know was on the same archaeological team digging for it from 8 years previous was a man who was there who has become a Jewish messianic believer. He stands up and he says, well, that's one view. He said, but another view is that none of the disciples who were fishermen were uneducated, probably didn't write this tablet, which is true. And he said, it probably proves the fact that there was messianic expectation. That what we have here is a concept that in Judaism so far has not been admitted. And that's the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Well, at the same conference was a man from the Chabad. Remember we were standing out in the Wailing Wall looking up at the Chabad? I lived with those people for 8 years, so I know them pretty well. They had a rabbi named Schneerson, and he never even left Brooklyn, New York, but they're building him a nice estate over here in case he comes back from the dead. This group of Jewish Orthodox people believed, without knowing about this tablet, in the death and resurrection of the Messiah, who they thought was Schneerson. So he's there, and he brings up the fact, wait a minute, we of the Chabad have always believed in the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Well, another man stood up, and it got to be the funniest discussion. He stood up and he said, well, there's Messiah ben Ephraim, the suffering Messiah, and Messiah ben David, David, who is the reigning king Messiah. Then they all got upset. They said, if you admit that, then you're opening the door to argue that Yeshua might be the Messiah. To which the moderator said, we've had enough. And it was over. But I enjoyed reading it very, very much.
So let me remind you, Menachem Begin, and this is a true story, Menachem yes. Begin was hosting a group of leaders on top of the mountain there, and he said, and he started to tell him about all the controversies and the arguments about who, when and who. So he said, you know, we Jews believe that he will come for the first time. You Christians believe that he will return for the second time. So there's no need to argue. When he comes, we'll simply ask him, have you been here before?
Have you been before?
Yeah. The very last thing I want to add only is that many believe that after the 120 at the upper room received the Holy Spirit,
yes.
That afterwards we read about 3,000 that were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Many believe that it happened right here in the very many mikveh baths that were actually discovered here.
Some believe the Pool of Siloam was used, and for years people laughed at it because we thought it was a dumpy little place at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel.
We found the big
but now we have the big one. And it probably was reciprocal baptism. That is, one person baptized and then he turned around and baptized somebody else. Otherwise, 12 guys would have to go approximately 5 hours and 22 minutes if they could dunk them every 3 minutes.
Well, if you're going
now, why is I bringing that up?
Yeah, why would
I have no idea. Absolutely foolish remark.
The connection with the figures of 250,000.
Yeah, could they have baptized 3,000 people?
No, 257,000 sheep were slaughtered every day.
Yeah.
I said to David, you know, if 2.5 million people came to on a pilgrimage on Passover, they didn't walk. They came on a donkey. Maybe sometimes 2 donkeys, you know, one for the suitcase and one for the food and everything that they can. Where did they park 500,000 donkeys around? Since we don't know the answers to everything and we have an 11:30 meeting at the Temple Institute, we will take a short way from here on back to a little walk. We have a 20 minutes walk to where we're going now.
Let's go.